The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the fourth chapter. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed upon him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I think some Sundays you may notice that I shift back and forth more than others up here behind the pulpit. And some of those Sundays are simply because the good news is too good to not dance. This is one of those Sundays. Listen to these words. The prophet Isaiah, making a prophecy of hope to the people, "The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to tell the oppressed the good news, to heal the brokenhearted, to announce freedom for the prisoners and captives, to send me to give them olive oil instead of tears and joyous praise in the place of broken hearts." Those weren't the words of Jesus spoken in Luke chapter 4. Those were the words of the prophet Isaiah. Also, through the power of the Holy Spirit, hearing the good news for the poor, the oppressed, the outcast, the brokenhearted. These are the words that God's people have been waiting to hear being fulfilled. I love that Laura talked about listening with the children this morning. Because sometimes when you hear something, you think you missed it. Did I really hear that? And sometimes it's really good news, and maybe we're too busy with the other noise of our lives. And we don't hear the good news. And so we are together, gathered as God's people on a Sunday morning on the Lord's Day, to hear the good news together, because during the week, frankly, we don't hear a lot of good news. We hear a lot of noise. We hear a lot of noise that's packaged as good news. I'll give you an example of that from my own home. We've created noise packaged as good news. Some of you know we have 3 dogs. And they all live in the house. And they're all babied like our kids haven't moved away. And we have a doggy door to a fenced backyard so they can come and go as they please. And every once in a while, when things get too slow in our house, I will whisper the word, and everybody goes flying out the back door to see, what is it? What can we do? What can we do? There must be a squirrel. I have to take care of the squirrel. And it creates a little excitement for a while. But I lied. Sometimes there's a squirrel, but sometimes I just do it. I'm sorry. My apologies to dog lovers. But that's the noise that the world makes at us all week long. The world says, this is the best news you've ever heard. Go get it! And I don't even have to elaborate what words they've used to grab our attention. But here's the real deal in Luke chapter 4. Jesus starts out by saying, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Now, our adult class on Sunday mornings after church takes this apart a little bit in more detail than we can in a sermon, but the Spirit of the Lord is a huge part of the book of Luke, which becomes the book of Acts. The Spirit of the Lord, remember, came to old Elizabeth and Zechariah to announce to them their child who would be pointing to Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon Mary to say, Mary, you are going to have a very special child, and his name will be Jesus. And the Spirit came upon Simeon and Anna, who've been waiting in the temple and praying day and night. And they were given, through the Spirit of the Lord, the confirmation that the Messiah had been born. And so throughout this book of Luke, we have foreshadowings of the Spirit pointing to young Jesus. But here, Jesus' first announcement after his baptism, where of course the Spirit of the Lord was, came in bodily form, showed up, announced, this is the Son of God. Here is Jesus speaking for himself, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. Now, anointed is a word used frequently throughout Scripture. Anointing was often a pouring of oil over the head of someone selected for a purpose. Very often, when a king was announced, a king was anointed, and they poured oil over his head to announce, this is the king, this is the anointed one, Christ. Means the anointed one. And here's Jesus at the very beginning of his ministry confirming what John the Baptist had pointed to, what Mary knew, what old Simeon and Anna knew, what Zechariah and Elizabeth knew. This is the anointed one. The one all Israel had been waiting for, at least since the prophet Isaiah. the one that would follow in King David's footsteps and lineage to save the people. This was the good news at its very best. This is Jesus, what Methodist pastor Mike Slaughter says, this is Jesus' inaugural address. I'm here, says Jesus. But he doesn't come to proclaim the noisy, not so good, good news that the world tries to share and sell us as good news. Jesus anointed says, I've come to bring good news to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Oh, those people. But those people are also us. The oppressed, the blind. How do we begin our worship when we start with a confession and forgiveness? We start by saying, we are in what to sin? Bondage. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord has set me free, has anointed me to proclaim to you freedom from your bondage. To whatever it is you are in bondage to, I can set you free, says Jesus. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free. Jesus was called to that purpose. That's what the anointing was. To set us free, but also that we might assist him in setting others free. Friday afternoon, after the news cycle was pretty well over for the week, we got the news that Lutheran Social Services of Illinois had cut more than 750 jobs. Did you hear it in the news? If you did, you're a pretty astute news person, because this was a Friday afternoon bomb drop. 750 LSSI jobs. Now, these are not just jobs. This is not about just jobs and the economy. These are services to all the people that Jesus said, I came to set them free. You think about adult daycare services. Now, maybe you've never needed that service. But if you've ever talked to someone who does, they really need that service. And there are entire families and secondary rings of families who need those services. There was a young man in my former congregation. He was about 25 and he had cerebral palsy. And this young man was so sharp, but most of the muscles in his body wouldn't allow other people to see how sharp he was. He couldn't walk, couldn't talk, could express himself with a computer and by hitting his head against a variety of keys and things, he made himself understood. But if he didn't have adult daycare, his parents couldn't work. If his parents couldn't work, his parents couldn't support him. And so on and so forth. Adult daycare has been dismantled. Google search it, and we'll try to put something on the church website so you can see all the services that have been taken away. But you know it's not just LSSI. How do we as Christians identify with the Jesus who said, "I came to set people free"? How do we identify with that Jesus? I think it goes back to that text from 1 Corinthians. We all have different gifts, but we're all part of the body of Christ. We all do what we can with what we've got, but we do so because we are anointed, just as Jesus was. Now, Jesus was anointed, capital A. But in our baptism in Christ, we also share that anointing. Do you remember these words? Child of God, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Child of God, you who were probably too young to have any inkling what those words meant when those words were given to you, you are anointed. In Scripture, anointing was for a purpose. Sometimes it was for healing. You know, if any are sick, let them call for the elders to anoint them. But also to attach you to a mission. And so after the hymn of the day this morning, we're going to give you a chance to be anointed. Our assisting minister, John, and I will be here with oil. We'll mark your foreheads. We'll remind you, child of God, that you were sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked at the cross of Christ forever. There's nothing that can take you away from Christ's love or from the promises that are attached to it. If you want a special prayer for healing, just let us know specifically what you'd like to pray for. We'll pray for you too. But most importantly, we will announce to you one-on-one, if you prefer to come forward, that you are part of something bigger than yourself. You're not helpless when all seems dark. You are a child of God, part of the body of Christ, signed, sealed, named, and claimed. Wherever you are in your walk, in your journey today, may the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.